This evening we invite you once again to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 1 and read down through verse number 19 like we did this morning. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses once again. Genesis chapter 22 and Isaiah chapter 53 are perhaps the most notable chapters in the Old Testament, which set before us that of the gospel in the Old Testament. Here in Genesis chapter 22, we have that of the sacrifice of Isaac. Over in Isaiah chapter 53, we have Isaiah the prophet prophesying of that of the Lord and that of his substitutionary sacrifice. And so these two chapters, they set, here in the Old Testament, they set before us that of the gospel. We could call them the gospel chapters of the Old Testament, because truly they do set before us that of the good news. In chapter 22, it's in that of a picture form or a type form. In Isaiah chapter 53, it's in that of a prophecy form. Genesis chapter 22 has been one of the chapters that has been of great comfort to God's people down through the ages. And as we look at the chapter tonight, we're going to be focusing in on that of Isaac, the sacrifice. Now, we covered the first five verses of this chapter this morning, and so we're not going to go into detail upon those chapters other than just to mention that of the line of thought that is found there in those verses as we continue on in the study of this great chapter. In verse 1, we noted this morning how that the Lord appeared unto Abraham, and he spoke unto him. He called him by name, and Abraham answered him. In verse 2, he commanded Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to go to that of the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which he would tell him. And we want to stop here for a moment, and we just want to draw your attention to that of the place here that the Lord spoke of here, that Abraham was to go, and that of the mountain range. It was the land of Moriah. It was the mountain range there. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Chronicles, Second Chronicles, chapter 3. And in verse number 1, it says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign." Here we see Solomon building the house of the Lord, or that of the temple, the one that David desired to build, and of whom the Lord said he would not build it, but his son would build it. And you know that of the particular place that he begins to build this temple. It is in Mount Moriah. Now, over here in our passage, we have the land of Moriah. But you'll note that here in these verses that the Lord told Abraham to go to this land of Moriah, to take that of his son, his only son whom now he loved, and to get there and offer him there, that is in the land of Moriah, for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. One of the mountains that I will tell thee of. The significance of this these statements and that which is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1 is that many believe, even the Jews, that it was upon that of this very spot that Solomon began to build the temple, that Abraham actually built that of the altar upon which he offered up Isaac. So he told him to go to the land of Moriah and to offer Isaac there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, we noted the first part of verse 2 where he says, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." Now, here we have that of a father and that of a son. He was his only son. His only son by that of Sarah. He was the one whom he did love dearly. He was everything to Isaac and to Sarah. He was that of the promised child, the one in whom that Abraham and Sarah, they had all of their hopes in him. For the Lord had told Abraham that through his seed, and it was a particular seed, that of the promised seed, which had been promised all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, that it would be through this particular seed that he would make of him a great nation, and that all nations would be blessed. And that statement, all nations would be blessed, having to do with that of the actual Messiah coming. So we have a father, we have a son that is the only son, and we have this one who is the only son who is loved by the Father. Do you see the picture beginning to take place? The Father, the Son, the only Son, the Son whom the Father loved. Beloved, this all points to that of God the Father and God the Son. God the Father and His Son, His only Son, the Son of His love. He said, "Take now thy son, that only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." A burnt offering. As we've already noted several times, but we'll note again. Here again we have that phrase, burnt offering. And this is a long time before Moses comes upon the scene. A long time before that of the book of Leviticus, where we have the offerings concerning that of the burnt offering and the various offerings which are mentioned there in Leviticus. A burnt offering. A burnt offering was done in the morning and in the evening amongst that of the Jews. Here, Abraham is told to take his only son, the son whom he loved, and to go to the land of Moriah, to a certain mountain, and to offer him as a burnt offering. Offer him up as a sacrifice. Verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together." Now, there are several things here in these verses that we would draw your attention to. First of all, we see Abraham rising up early, as the Lord had commanded him, and he takes the things that are necessary. He gathers that of the young men with him up to go with him. He saddles an ass. He takes the wood for the burnt offering, and then he begins his journey. There's two men that go with that of Abraham and that of Isaac. They travel with them. And when they do arrive and they come to that particular place, where that Abraham and Isaac are going to climb up the mountain, Abraham tells these two men to stay behind, to abide with that of the ass, while he and his son go and worship the Lord. You note that Abraham and Isaac, they climb the mountain alone. It's just them. Beloved, as we think of the journey of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that of the time when they took him, and he began that of his journey to that of Calvary. Beloved, there were the crowds, but beloved, when they got to that of Calvary, beloved, Jesus, it was a lonely road for him. As they nailed him to the cross, what took place, beloved, there upon Mount Calvary, there upon that of the cross, beloved, even though there were two thieves on each side of the Lord Jesus, beloved, what took place there upon the cross was that between a father and son. It was between God the Father and between that of God the Son. Just as we see the picture set before us here in the passage. Abraham and Isaac, they go up the mount, and beloved, Abraham takes that of the wood and he prepares the altar, and then he binds that of Isaac and he lays him there upon the altar. It's just father and son. Before we go any further in that, in verse number 6, it says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Wow. Several things here. One that we've already mentioned this morning, but we'll mention it again. Here we see that implication is made that Isaac did not have any knowledge that he was indeed going to be that of the sacrifice, merely by the question that he asked that of his father. And yet, as we look at the question that Isaac asked his father here, Isaac, we see, has that of some knowledge. Some knowledge with regards to that of sacrifice. What was required with regards to that of the offering. He says, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Beloved, if there is a question that echoed down through time, this is most likely one. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? As you go on forward in that of the Old Testament Scriptures, that question, where is the lamb? Beloved, the revelation of that lamb, that of his coming, beloved, further revelation is given as you go forward in that of the Old Testament Scriptures. As we've already noted in Isaiah 53, the prophecy there of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. Where is the Lamb? Isaac knew that a lamb was needed for offering. Isaac knew that there was a lamb that was needed for the burnt offering. He knew about sacrifice. He knew about blood being shed. And Abraham said, "My son," verse 8, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now some have said, well, Abraham merely just was telling Isaac, don't worry. Don't worry, the Lord will take care of it. But beloved, these words are more than just that. Beloved, these words are words of prophecy, I believe we can safely say. These words are words that look forward out in the future. I believe we can say that here we have Abraham's faith in exercise. Exercised not only with regards to that of the immediate occasion, but also with regards to that future. That future occasion when the Lamb of God would come. Remember in John 1, as John the Baptist came declaring, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was out baptizing, the scriptures tells us there in John. And then the disciples of John and the disciples of the Lord, the question arose whether or not John was the one. And John said, "I'm not the one." And we hear those glorious words, the glorious declaration, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In John chapter 8, John chapter 8, we have Jesus and some Jews that are upset with Him. In verse 52 it says, "Then said the Jews unto Him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, are of a truth, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Beloved, we have the words of our Lord himself here as he spoke to these Jews concerning that of Abraham, how that he rejoiced to see his day, and that he did see it. Was the Lord referring to that of this day? This day when Abraham took Isaac, his only son, whom he loved, and went to the land of Moriah and walked up that mountain with him and bound him, built the altar and laid him there upon the altar and went and took the knife to slay him? Was this the day that Abraham saw the Lord Jesus? Going back to our text here, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham said, verse 8, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He did provide himself a lamb. John the Baptist came and declared, Behold the Lamb of God. They came, verse 9, to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on them out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So we see Abraham and Isaac, they reach the top of the mountain. Abraham builds the altar. He binds him and places him upon the altar. And he takes the knife to slay him. And the angel of the Lord called his name, Abraham, Abraham. Lay not thy hand upon the lad. Now, we touched upon something this morning that we would mention once again, and perhaps we'll talk a little bit more about, and that is that here, it would seem, is the first time that revelation is given of that of the fact that God would require that of a human sacrifice. Now we don't see here Isaac being slain. And yet, as far as God was concerned, Abraham gave his son to him. He offered him to them. But I believe as we see here in that of Isaac, we have that of a picture of the Lamb of God. And beloved, that God would indeed require that of a human sacrifice. A human, one, a man, who would take the place. Who would pay the price for sin? Isaac was not that one. Isaac was not evil. He was a sinner just like you and me. So we see here the type breaks down. But he is a picture of the Lamb of God. He is a picture of the fact that God would require that of a man. The blood of bulls and goats would not atone for sin. No, beloved, it was only the blood of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only His offering of Himself would satisfy the demands of the law. The soul that sinneth, it must die. For that one to be set free, that one who is guilty, that one who has transgressed, the consequences is that of death. And for him to be set free, one must take his place. In verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram. A ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. As a substitute. Instead, in place of his son. And beloved, that is exactly what we have in Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ, the Father's only begotten Son. The Father giving him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. As substitute to pay the sin debt. To take that of my place. To take that of your place. And to atone for sin by the shedding of his blood. In verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What did Abraham tell Isaac when he asked the question, where is the lamb? He said, the Lord shall provide. Himself a lamb. And that's exactly what he did. The Lord did provide himself a lamb. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. God provided. Beloved, man, in his sinful condition, a transgressor of God's law, there is absolutely nothing that he can do or bring whereby his sin can be atoned for or to be taken care of. Beloved, the only sacrifice, the only atonement for man's sin is in that of the Lamb of God and that of His precious blood shed. God provided. God saw to it. You see, it wasn't by chance. It was all according to God's gracious and purposeful plan to save a people for himself. I believe that Abraham did see the day, the Lord's day. here in type and on this day. Angel of the Lord, verse 15, called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn. He promised Abraham, and now it says, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In thy seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed. Chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, we have that same promise that the Lord gave unto Abraham. He says, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thy seed. What seed? The Lord Jesus. For as we come to the book of Matthew and begin with verse 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse number 13. The writer of Hebrews writes, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained a promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Beloved, God promised, God swore unto Abraham that he would give him that of a seed. And beloved, that seed being that of the promise of that promised one. And beloved, as we come into the New Testament, we see that fulfillment being in that of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we do have that of assurance. We have strong consolation. We can take comfort, beloved, in the promises of God. For they're sure. Abraham tells us that. Where is the land? God shall provide himself a land. And God did. All right, let's stand. Let's take our bulletins if you have them.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take upon a sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will never tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus lifted me from the depths of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness. Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me. When I knew him none, he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. By and by, with joy increasing, and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to be with Christ eternally. I will join a host there singing in the anthem ever ringing to the King of Love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
All right. And I ask Brother Don to give us a closing word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you, Lord, for this wonderful plan of redemption, Lord, for its progress throughout history, bringing your promise, your covenant requirements to pass, Lord, in time, fulfilling all things in the person of thy only begotten Son, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you for him, Lord, for his finished work on Calvary, for his atoning death, for his shed blood by which our sins are washed away. Father, we rejoice in his victory over death, over the grave, over Satan. Lord, we praise you for this, for our election in him, Lord, for all the grace and mercy that has been given us in Christ Jesus. Father, may our hearts be filled with joy and contemplation of our interest in Christ. Lord, may each of us find our all in him. Lord, may our hearts safely rest upon him. Lord, find joy and peace in him. Father, we do pray your blessing upon the church, its witness, its testimony. Lord, do you bless the light for each of the members here. May you shine brightly in this dark world. Father, we do pray. pray that you fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that we may conform to the image of Christ Jesus. Lord, we do pray for your people around the world, for your assemblies, your churches throughout the world. We pray that they would honor and glorify thyself, and that you would give them grace in these last days. Father, we do await the coming, the revelation of your Son, that they would be found faithful, looking and watching for him. Father, we do ask that you would bless us in this interim. May we be given grace, Lord, to be faithful unto thee, Lord, to be a light and dark image. Father, now as we depart, we pray your blessing upon the weak. Remember us, may we have your fellowship and the multitudes of thy mercies and blessings. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Any other questions?